SiriusXM Radio is better with Bogle Wines. 70s on 7, 80s on 8, better with Bogle. Alt Nation, Hip Hop Nation, Hair Nation, better with Bogle. Madison, Howard, Andy Cohen, better, better, better. Y2 Country, Prime Country, Carrie's Country, yep, all better. The Beatles Channel is better, and getting better all the time. Everything on Sirius is better with Bogle. Award-winning, family-owned wines ranked as some of the finest available for around $10. As long as you're not driving, it's better with Bogle. Bogle Family Vineyards, Clarksburg, California. Please drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, well, I hope everyone's ready for the dinner party. I hope no one's allergic to penis.
Human penis.
Because if you are, then, well, you're going to be hungry. There's some bread.
Yeah, don't
so actually, maybe you shouldn't even eat the bread as well, because I was playing with the penises with the with the bread.
You got to put the butt lard in the bread.
What I did was I hung up the penises by a clothing line, and then I would play the penises with the bread, kind of like they were marimbas. It was fun. I like to make cooking fun.
Well, Mr. Dahmer, I don't think we have room for you here on the Food Network, but I think it's a great show idea.
This is my other pitch. What we do is, right?
But does it all involve human penises? We're not allowed to have a show where you cook human penises on the show.
I think there could be a workaround to the human penis end.
Right.
But I think that mostly what I want is, we get Tyler Florence, right?
Yeah.
I slid him from bush hair to Adam's apple,
I'm
going
to say security. Security. We're going to have to get Mr. Dahmer out of here.
Having fun with cooking.
Thank you. Having fun with cooking with Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer will not be greenlit this season. However, I think they're looking for shows over at True TV. Okay. Goodbye, Mr. Dahmer. Thank you. Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We got a real entrepreneur over here.
This is just Jeffrey Dahmer just trying to me, it's more of like, it's not Jeffrey Dahmer himself. It's the women that read Jeffrey Dahmer's books and were inspired.
Yes, the women who loved him, but he'll never love you, ladies.
No, someone was putting that up on the Facebook group, but people talking about how dreamy Dahmer was. Mm. You know what I mean?
You know who else had a chance, ladies. You know who else is really dreamy? Neil Patrick Harris. And you're not going to bang him either. He might have had sex with more dead corpses than Dahmer. We don't know.
What's really sad, too, is about, like, the fucking, like, anybody who slept with Dahmer who didn't get murdered, you weren't pretty enough.
Not good enough.
You weren't good enough.
And you think he's joking, but that is from the horse's mouth right there.
Yep.
That is what Jeffrey said, is that he only killed the beautiful ones.
He did. And I believe Ted Bundy had a similar quote, too, where he's just like, you're not even ugly enough for me, or you're not even pretty enough for me to kill. I think he said that on the witness stand or on the defense stand.
I want to see that in the Louis C.K. show and see how get that some sort of sensitive
hell of
coverage.
A bird. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got part three of Dahmer.
We're bringing this home this time.
Oh, my.
I'm almost sad to say goodbye to Jeffrey Dahmer.
I really am. I have to admit, this is the most fun I've had researching in I don't know how long.
We got some great details.
Great
stuff
details.
That I did not know. One particular fact that flipped my wig so hard.
I mean,
I'm very excited for it.
I got to admit, my number one resource on this is that it's a fantastic book that all of you should have further reading. It's called The Man Who Could Not Kill Enough by Ann Schwartz. She was the first journalist on the scene. It was written
I still would put like a Pol Pot in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd put like
a man who couldn't kill enough.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, maybe a Stalin type.
I watched a show on Netflix called Nazi Hunter.
Oh, I love Nazi Hunter.
Nazi Hunter is amazing. And I was like I was thinking about that today. I was watching it. It's like they literally put one way or another, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
On on that show, and I was like, this is inappropriate.
Right, that's, you know what I mean? Like, save that for Beverly Hills Ninja. Yeah. When Chris Farley's going to try to rescue,
like,
his bride.
Jeffrey Dahmer and everything, like, everything I saw, I looked at it, it would start with that just being like, hey, good looking, what you got cooking?
Human penis.
Human penises.
Yeah. I would love to see a World War II dictator Dahmer. So then you want to grab their dicks. Yeah, and then you just put them in your mouth.
So,
yeah.
Hey, so when do we get the Jews in here so I can suck on their penises? Hey, guys. Hey, Goebbels.
Goebbels.
I got ideas.
Hey, Goebbels.
So we pick up with Jeffrey Dahmer on May 26, 1991. This is the infamous escape story that anyone who's researched Dahmer for 15 minutes has heard. Dahmer met Conorak Synthesome Phone.
Yeah, and the Synthesome Phone is going to be coming out this September.
This is actually
by Apple. I said this joke before.
We said it before. Then I said, well, what if we just call it the iPhone instead of the...
Yeah,
that is a good behind the scenes.
So he picked up this kid at the Grand Avenue Mall, where he picked up a few of his victims and where he bought the suitcase that he put his second victim in.
Mm. Yeah.
This was his, you know, Grand Avenue Mall. That was his hangout.
That was his bodega.
Yeah. He offered the boy money to post for pictures. This kid was 14 years old. He already had a prostitution bust. He was like a lot of the other people.
Yeah.
The Jeffrey
picked
up. Not
going to be mayor.
And
right.
You know?
I mean, not just the name either. I mean, there's also the prostitution bust.
Yeah.
But here's a very... This is
one... If you're a 14-year-old, can you be a prostitute? Aren't you the victim?
I mean, a lot of times, you are forced to be a prostitute. Yes. You're not like waking up at 10 just being like, man, oh man, I'm going to be on Easy Street sucking dick for $5. You know, like, you're forced. The idea is put in your head.
If you're like, cops are supposed to protect the streets, but if you're just busting 14-year-old prostitutes, like, we got another 14-year-old dick sucker off the streets. There's not going to be three men coming tonight.
And here we find one of the strangest coincidences that I've ever seen, in that this kid, if you'll remember, Jeffrey Dahmer was arrested before in the middle of his first run for exposing himself to another young Filipino boy.
Yeah.
And this new boy was the younger brother of the first boy.
Well, Dahmer definitely had a type.
Yeah. He had a type.
He loves people with bad fathers. I think that's what it is.
Yes, he loves unregulated Filipino boys.
Right.
That's his favorite. But they also, you know, they look alike. You know what I mean? Yeah. Man, imagine if Dahmer met a set of triplets. He'd be eating for three that night.
Oh, that's a lot. That's like it's an Applebee's special or something.
So the two go back to Dahmer's apartment. It's the inevitable scenario. Photographs, drinks, drugs. The kid passes out.
And now what's now also part of his regular repertoire, which is drilling the hole in their head and jumping the acid in their face.
Yep, muriatic acid. It's pretty much battery acid. He injects it right into the frontal lobe. But Dahmer, it's at this point.
Maybe you thought he was Pennywise the clown, you know? This is battery acid, you slime.
Oh.
And then he attempts to kill Pennywise the clown in episode part one of the TV, made-for-TV movie, It by Stephen King, which is...
Let's just let him sit.
Based off of a book that was too big to read, but the
thank you for explaining the miniseries It.
It. And then there was a fat kid named Ben who lost a lot of weight from running, and of course,
like,
I was a fat...
But
yes.
But with cocaine.
With
you
cocaine.
Lost the weight with cocaine.
Yes.
So, so Dahmer is just going like, yippa.
You feeling comfortable? And then he starts drinking. He's like, oh, this is like, I better get another Schlitz so I can get hard. And then, ding, 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 ding. I'm all out of Schlitz.
Oh, shit. Oh, Schlitz.
So he goes out. He goes on a beer run.
Because you know what was the thing? At this point, he's like, God, I wish I had a sex slave so I could slip him a 10. Then he can, I'll buy, he'll fly.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
That would be awesome. And then he'd just, can you imagine a sex slave going to the corner store going like, I need sex back. And he's like all covered in cum and stuff.
Well, these other 14ers are retarded. Well, we better sell him the beer.
It would take a lot of training, though. You'd have to take him back and forth and back
you
and
do
forth.
It like this. This is how you buy me beer. And this is a beer you buy me. Now suck my dick. Let's just get back in the house.
Yeah.
Let's get back in the house.
So while Dahmer was gone, Conorak, he woke up and he left the apartment. He was somehow able to find his way outside. So this woman, her name's Sandra Smith, is about 2 in the morning. She called 911 to report a boy running naked on the street, disoriented.
Yeah, because they normally cut that off at 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
In that neighborhood.
So officers Joe Gabrish and John Balkerzak
Just some standard Milwaukee names.
These guys are terrible human beings.
Name's Joe Gabris, and this is my partner, Jan Bilkerzak.
Yep.
They were called to the scene. When they arrived, the paramedics had already arrived. The boy was wrapped up in a blanket, and Dahmer, having arrived back from the beer store, was standing patiently right beside them, cool as a cucumber. But
At this point, you know, he's... how do you say it? He's gone wackadoo for schmackadoo.
Wackadoo
so
for
he's
schmackadoo.
Got a fucking he's got a different he's on a different level now.
He is.
Yeah.
And so he's very calm.
Yeah, very calm. He just casually told the police, like, hey, this kid's a house guest. He had a little bit too much to drink. Whenever he drinks, he just acts a little crazy. He's 19, officers. He's my boyfriend.
Yeah,
so.
I know he doesn't have any pubic hair, but he's 19 years old. Yes, I know he's bleeding out of his asshole, but that's because that's he sat on a parking cone accidentally.
Yeah.
And then the hole in his head, he had a zit that was deep.
Well, we were playing the game parallel parking, and he was the car, and he didn't parallel park very well.
You know what I'm saying, officers? Yeah. When I swallow this man's jizz, how does that make you feel?
Excuse me, Mr. Yeah, no, you can have him back.
Hey, yeah, Mr. Dahmer, please continue on your way. I can't imagine the smell of the cum and
Now that was, I mean, that's not too far off from the actual attitude of the Milwaukee Police Department at that time. These guys thought it was hilarious. This was the funniest scene that they'd come across in years.
To their credit, I believe it was about a decade, maybe a couple, maybe 15 years later, Will Ferrell in Old School. Great scene with him running down the street naked.
Streaking.
Very, very funny
we
stuff.
We used to streak all the time.
Yeah.
People would streak, and it was cool back
then.
The
hip thing to do.
Yeah, you were feeling the free love.
Mm-hmm.
You were showing your bush hair to the world to stop the war.
But he didn't have bush hair, so that was the problem.
No, he was a young boy who was obviously drugged.
Yep. Yep.
So they took the Conorak and Dahmer back up to the apartment. They saw that Conorak's clothes were neatly folded on the couch. They looked at that. Jeffrey showed them the pictures. They were obviously consensual. This was before he had been drugged.
Well, what is Conorak literally sitting there going like, please, please, please.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, at the very least, you take the guy to the hospital, right? Because it's a good chance he was going to die of alcohol poisoning or something.
Something like that. Yeah. So the cops walk in, and what they don't know is that the body of Tony Hughes, Dahmer's last victim, sitting on the bed, had been decomposing for 3 days. And, of course, they asked the cops, like, what about the smell? It had to have smelled horrible in there. And one cop said, he's like, yeah, I noticed, but it just smelled like somebody took a dump in there.
Beautiful.
Totally normal. It's like when you have too many brats and you got to keep on farting and your wife doesn't want you to.
You know how many times I've been down and playing poker with my buddies and we're having a fart competition and he's farting and I'm farting. I'm reading pepperoni just straight from the package. Yeah, it'll smell like a dump in there sometimes.
I walk down there and I say, what are you, a couple of guys having sex in here? One of my jokes.
You know they use shit as lube.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, this got me thinking. Jeffrey Dahmer, he strangled all of his victims. And a lot of times in a strangling death, particularly, that is when a body will completely vacate its bowels.
You think they poo-poo?
So, yeah. Oh, I know they do. Yeah. I mean, in hangings, it's always a rule that you don't stand underneath the gallows because the guys always shit themselves.
But you're supposed to eat the mushrooms that form underneath the human dookie.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to.
You are supposed to, and then you trip balls. Yeah,
they're called mandrakes.
What?
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, this was something I think we covered in our witchcraft episode.
I just think that it's just some fucking idiot fooling his buddies is being like, hey, she eat those mushrooms over there. It's like, I don't know. I think maybe they're poison.
I think they are a bit of a poison, yeah.
So, so that means that Jeffrey Dahmer, his apartment was probably covered in shit most of the time. But he had plenty of Soilex around.
There's a lot of stuff going on in that apartment.
So from what I did some research on Soilex. Apparently great for getting any stain out of any carpet.
That's
industrial strength.
Very good.
Yeah. So he's fine in that respect. So the cops leave him there as soon as they get out, as soon as the cops leave, Jeffrey thinks like, well, I guess I'm going to have to pour more acid into his brain.
Well, he's obviously not listening to orders, so you know what I'm going to have to do is, What if I pull out one of his eyes? I haven't tried that before.
Maybe you'll just walk around in circles, not so much out the front door.
So when the cops got back into their car, they called the dispatcher, and they said, this is a transcript from what they said. The intoxicated Asian naked male was returned to the sober boyfriend. It'll be a minute. My partner's gonna go get deloused at the station.
That is funny.
Chop, 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 chop.
Classic.
That's if I was in a radio play about Jeffrey Dahmer. That's the only question. That's the only things you need. It's hey, you want to come by my place?
Yeah, I just pictured the chef from the Muppets doing that the whole thing there.
And this is you've also got like further police negligence. Days later, the boy's photo, it shows up in the newspaper, and the woman who had originally called 911, she immediately recognized the boy.
Right.
Called up the cops, said, "All right, you've got to come and check out this guy's apartment. I saw this boy with this man. It was the last time he was seen. He disappeared around the same time that his parents said that he did. Nobody ever came." Nobody ever came to further investigate.
Well, that's
this.
The thing. This, again, Henry, you got into an argument with somebody, I believe, on the internet about police negligence, and a lot of people think that we're too hard on the cops when it comes to these situations. They are completely and utterly at fault.
This is how these serial killers stay active.
Yeah.
That's how they stay active. It's because departments don't speak to each other.
Yeah.
They don't do the proper legwork. Nobody cared about these missing kids because they were a part of the gay scene.
And they
Nobody
have bad cared. Senses of humor. You know, if you walk into a room and it smells like Dookie, don't be like, nah, you're shitting at each other.
And it's like,
check the room for the body in the bed.
You literally have a bunch of guys. Yeah, it's like, it didn't just smell like shit in there. It obviously smelled like rotting flesh.
Yeah.
Every cop is told,
right,
pretty much, if you smell a rotting body,
he's got to sniff it out. Just sniff around.
Just go take a looky, Lou.
You got a job. You can do that.
You're allowed to do that.
You're the only person who can.
I mean, you got to ask permission, but your job is to go and be like, hey, like they give you a hard time if it smells like weed in the car.
Right.
Never mind if it smells like a rotting 19 bodies. Just how many bodies? A drum full of bodies.
So many.
Must be the fish tank.
Yeah. Now that makes sense.
So the day after, Dahmer, he calls into work because he wants to spend the entire day with Synthesomophone's body.
This is like, and you don't take a sick day when you're sick. You take it when you have something fun to do.
That's absolutely. Don't waste it when you're sick.
Yeah.
Go to work when you're sick. Poison everybody at the chocolate factory.
And he also got around to Tony Hughes, which he'd been putting off for a few days. So he takes care of those guys. A couple weeks after that, he gets to Victim 13. He goes to Chicago for the annual Gay Pride Parade, which he never missed
because he was a bit of a celebrity there. He showed up. Yeah, he was fully dressed up as a gay mummy, which was fun for him.
Yeah.
Just pink toilet paper.
Yes.
So he met this kid, 20-year-old Matt Turner, at the Greyhound station, promised him photographs once again. Just, hey, head over to Milwaukee with me. We'll take some photographs.
Where'd you get that pink mummy outfit? You got to soak it in Pepto. Yeah, you just take normal toilet paper and you just put it all up on Pepto.
Jeffrey, you're creepy, but I'm going to come all the way back with you to Milwaukee so you could take naked pictures of me.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Stop it. You're creeping me out. I almost won't go, but I'll go.
Ben, how far is it from Chicago to Milwaukee?
It's about a 45-50-minute drive.
Oh, that's it?
No, it's very close.
Oh, okay. I mean, still, though.
I mean, it's tough for Dahmer.
The drive for a bit. Dahmer was good at that. He was really good at small talk, and he's like, I hope you like Wham. That's all I got. I got one tape. You know, him just like listening to Wham, kind of dancing. And I was like, hey, Jeffrey, maybe you want to put your hands on the wheel. He's like, I just like to take chances.
Yeah. So he saved Matt Turner's head in a freezer in a plastic bag. And Matt Turner was the first person to go inside the infamous Blue Barrel.
Now, this Blue Barrel came really in handy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, yes. Yes, it can hold the decomposing bodies of all your male prostitute victims. But also, you could put a chessboard on it, and it's a fun little small town chess table.
Oh, bring it to Union Square.
Yeah. What you could do with it, you know, put drinks on it.
Sure.
It's another type of table. You know
are
what
you
I mean?
Are you Billy Mays with the big blue tank?
I'm just saying, well, you got a big blue tank. You could put a record player on it.
Yeah.
It's a DJ booth now.
I'm Billy Mays with big blue tank. Want to dispose of some bodies? Put them inside the tank. And then, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and so things. Now this is him talking. You want to hear his recipe?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's his recipe. Here's his cooking recipe.
This is a human recipe.
Yeah, this is kind of his process as far as killing people and
Henry,
eating them goes.
Henry, I want to know if you approve of this recipe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It sounds delicious. During dismemberment, I save the heart.
Mm.
Also meat from the thigh, bicep, liver. Cut it into small pieces.
Yeah.
Wash them off. Put them in clear plastic freezer bags and put them on the floor of the freezer. Just as an escalation of trying something new to satisfy. And I'd cook it. And then I'd look at the picture and I'd masturbate.
So can we say he masturbated afterwards? He didn't eat right. That's not how you eat. That's not how you eat food. You don't just cook it and jack off on it.
Instagram is. All Instagram is people taking pictures of brunches, and some of those people jerk off to them sometimes later. But, you know.
That's a good point.
It's different, you know.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel like they were a part of me.
And that's what he said over and over again, is that that's why he ate the people. It was a way to keep them in his body, within him forever.
I just feel like you're living in this world of madness for so long, and you've been doing so much fucked up shit. It just gets to a point where it's all just becomes... It's easy, you know, like, because Ben and I kind of go on eating binges. I'll go on an eating binge, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I had a burrito for breakfast. I guess I'll also eat half a pizza for dinner. You know, like, because you're already in the mindset.
That way I have Mexico and Italy inside of me, the whole countries, and it's I will destroy them.
I don't have to travel, because I have the countries as a part of me.
Not a problem at all. And do you wash off the meat, though? I'm wondering if it's, is it like an oyster situation, where you shuck them, and then if you wash them off, you ruin the whole thing.
You got to be washing these guys. Yeah, the problem is that, I mean, a lot of the time, I imagine they reek of cologne, you know, and that's not going to cook well.
Well, you know, I mean, human flesh is a lot very similar to pig flesh, and you're not going to cook a pork chop without washing it off first.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and it has to be thoroughly cooked.
Yes.
Well, he would cook it really lightly, which is daring because technically, like pork, you should brine it. If you want a rare piece of pork.
He just kind of seared it, huh?
He just kind of seared it. But at the same time, again, he was taking a lot of chances. So he wasn't really worried about food poisoning.
Maybe he does deserve a show on the Food Network, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, it's very nose to tail.
Yeah.
Which is very hip nowadays in the food community.
Nose to tail.
Yes.
Okay.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year, thinking about her family and friends, and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Yeah, we do. Do you love saving money? Oh my God, you bet. Then Philo may be your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. That's amazing. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. It's just a better way to watch TV. Get with it, people. Philo has an unlimited DVR for 1 year. Save all your favorite shows so you can watch on your own schedule. Philo allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams, meaning that your children or significant other can't ruin your queue. Never miss a minute of shows like, oh, RuPaul's Drag Race. You're going to watch it. You're going to love it. You're going to get involved with it. And it's an extravaganza. You're going to love it. With Philo, you can start watching in seconds for less money and less hassle. Try it yourself with your 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/left. That's philo.tv/left to get 50% off your first month.
So Jeffrey's next four victims after Conorak, all of this happened, four victims, 10 days. He's going the classic serial killer route of at the very end, he's just killing day
blood
after
frenzy.
Day. I mean,
yeah,
just a right. complete blood frenzy. Victim 14, his name was Jeremiah Weinberger. So after this, after Conorak, and after trying the muriatic acid a couple times, Dahmer thinks that he's going to take a different tack, and he injects boiling water into Weinberger's frontal cortex.
Ooh, okay.
And admittedly, he did last longer. Some people say that he went into a coma for 2 days. Other reports say that he was actually walking around the apartment in a
daze. Can you imagine that him is going like, and Jeffrey's like, yay, he's alive.
My boy. He's alive.
You know, like just so excited, you know. He's like, I'm changing your name. You're not Jeremy anymore. Your name is Zamzar. And you're going to suck my dick now, Zamzar. Yeah, I love you, Zamzar. Fuck you. I'm fucking you. Oh, he died again.
He died.
More boiling water in his brain.
Well, might wake him up. Now put cold water in his brain. That'll work out perfectly.
Well, actually, we have... this is one of the few times that we have an actual witness that saw Dahmer leave with the victim. And in fact, this guy was a friend of Weinberger. And when Weinberger asked him, like, hey, should I go home with this guy tonight? The friend said, hey, he seems all right.
And not friend of the year.
So the guy went home with him, and then later he added, you know, who's to say what a serial killer looks like?
Which exactly.
He makes a good point with that. Like, Jeffrey's all right, he's a quiet guy, he's good looking. Yeah, go home with him.
Dahmer looks like a serial killer.
Yes.
Well, I mean, in hindsight.
He looks like the main character from No Country for Old Men, Bardem.
The way they described him all the time, which is that he sat alone in the bar, didn't
serial
talk
killer.
To anybody,
yeah.
Showed up again and again. Nobody. That's the one thing I don't really understand that we've seen in other cases in these small communities is that there was no general warning. Like, nobody knew that there was something going on. It's like when we learn about with the Green River killer, like the prostitutes were talking about there was a guy killing prostitutes and there was an awareness. It seems like here, there wasn't much communication amongst the community.
There's a reason behind that. Well, Milwaukee was known as a transient gay area, meaning that anybody who came through
was coming from out of town to be gay there that night and then leave.
Exactly. People were coming and going all the time. So it
had people from as far away as Kenosha, from Sheboygan, all coming there to Milwaukee.
So his next victim, this is on July 12th, he meets Oliver Lacey on the street, takes him upstairs, kills him, has sex with the corpse, places Lacey's head in the fridge in the box, keeps his heart in the freezer to eat later. 2 days later, and some people say this is where Jeffrey truly lost it, he was fired from the Ambrosia
because now he has
factory.
Lost all semblance of reality.
He's got nothing.
And Mr. Dahmer, you are coming in for the third straight day just covered in blood.
Yeah,
covered
in
blood.
It was chronic lateness and the fact that he stopped bathing and washing his clothes. And
well, so there's a body in the tub, isn't there?
I mean, he was showering on top of it. He knew he had to keep his job.
Tough to shower on top of a body.
But it's fucked up, because then you hear later, his statements later on, it's like, basically, he knew he was about to pop. The whole thing was about to be over. Like, there's only so long you can do it. Because in the end, you keep trying to make sex slaves, and they're not working. So it's just like, what do I gotta do?
Right.
You know? So he gets fired, And that's the other thing. I was just like, why are people going home with this huge, stinky man?
I mean, if he didn't kill all these people, he's like a Wilt Chamberlain type. Yeah. He's still got all these people to have sex with him. He was very smooth in a certain way, I guess.
He was extremely smooth. Here's another fucked up thing.
He must
about
have been. Did he ever go out and fail to get somebody?
I hate to say it, but it's not easy. It's not crazy easy, but it sounds like it's pretty easy to have sex if you go to a gay sex club and everyone's there to have sex. You're not seducing people. You're literally just like pointing, and it's just guy going, yeah, or no.
I suppose so.
You know?
It's easy to get lobster at Red Lobster, but is it any good? You know, that's the question. Yeah.
So Jeffrey's last murder was this guy named Joseph Braidhoft. He was 25, met him on the bus. And the day after the murder, this is when you start to see that his killing fields, his house, the maggots have discovered it. You know, it's finally gotten to the point where the
what
bugs
a day.
Which is
kind of
like when the hipsters find a restaurant in New York City, you know, and then it's ruined.
Totally.
Yeah. So the day after the murder, Dahmer found the head covered in maggots. He decapitated the body, cleaned the head, put it in the refrigerator.
What a day for those maggots. You know, the kids are all just, Dad, I don't know if
I'm
we can
so
make
hungry.
It anymore. Dad.
He's like, Eureka, it's a Filipino boy's penis.
We can eat on this for days, boys.
And he's like, get off that head. That's my head, maggots. That head belongs to me, maggots.
Maggots versus Dahmer. That's a hell of a horror movie. Sci-Fi Network's got to pick that up.
So his head, Braidhoft's head, goes in the freezer with all the rest of them. And the torso ends up going in the blue barrel with a couple of other guys. And his last attempt comes on July 22nd, 1991. Mm. This is fascinating because this is the first time we really get an insight into what the kills were actually like for Jeffrey. Like his actual ritual.
What
you know,
he'd be, yeah, he was,
it.
Yes.
Although it must be said that the victim, Tracy Edwards, is extremely unreliable.
What do you mean?
He was unreliable because for a few different reasons. When the day that the cops rescued him, he thanked the cops so much. He went to the police station. He thanked the cops and he gave them one story. And then he was one of the talk show circuit guys.
Oh, yeah. And then everything changes as soon as they get on the talk show circuit, because if you're willing to talk, you're doing it for the money.
Yeah.
And the story's going to become more sensational every time you say it. Mm. Like, we see it over and over again. Every time when, like, or, because a lot of times it's like the near victims just don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
They talk to the police and then they disappear because they don't want to. Also.
Well, I mean, when you're talking to Phil Donahue's producer, who just saw you on Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
He's going
to
morph
amp
the story.
It up. Yeah. Why don't you amp it up a little bit better than Sally? And then, of course, you got to go on that big fat gal show. Remember that? From
Ricky Lake
show.
Yeah,
that was a great one.
So this is one of the times when the stories differ, because we actually get to hear from the victim. This guy Tracy Edwards, he was at the Grand Avenue Mall. He said that he was with friends when Dahmer approached all of them and invited them to a party at his apartment. And he even said, like, to kind of alleviate fears, like, hey, my girlfriend's going to be there. Nothing weird, fellas. Nothing just weird. You look
just
like
a skeleton with a wig on, you know, like, he's just like, he actually thinks there will be a party when they go there. He's pretty certain that he's gotten them. He's been talking to them for long enough that they're ready. Yeah. It's like the teddy bear's picnic. He's like, maybe it's kind of like Toy Story where I go away and they all talk to each other. So if I surprise them with a bunch of new friends, we'll have a big gala.
They all join in, yeah.
They're all walking with masquerade masks on and just being like, lovely party, Jeffrey. And he's like, thank you, I made pigs in a blanket. It's a bunch of dicks and stale rolls.
Yeah.
You know, Tracy Edwards, he had seen Dahmer in the community. You know, of course, Dahmer was that huge fucking weird white dude that's always walking around.
Right.
So he said he...
Who has a habit of walking away with go-go dancers and people who blew in from out of town and then they disappear.
You know.
So Edwards said that his friends never showed up because Dahmer gave them a different address than what...
What then sounds like to me is what Tracy Edwards is covering up is the fact that they were there to have sex with each other.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. They saw each other. He picked him up. He doesn't want to say that he's a homosexual on the fucking talk show circuit.
Right.
And so, yeah. Because this does not sound like Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, you don't go to Dahmer's apartment for a party.
No.
There's nobody... No one thought that was a good idea.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
With Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah. That is how he works.
Yeah. And so they
that's
get
another
back
great
to the
show
apartment.
For that's another great talk show, one-on-one with Jeffrey Dahmer.
And it's just him like talk trying to do interview questions, but every once in a while he'll like sprinkle salt and pepper on you and like
and you want to, can you sit in the water there?
Suck on your finger, but also try some white wine to see what matches best. Yeah.
So this continues. This is Edward's story, by the way. So he said that they were drinking together. Jeffrey brought out a huge knife and, you know, threatened him, put handcuffs on him. Edward said that he remained calm. He said, Jeffrey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
It's all fine. I'm just going to be hanging out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now you have to hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, why don't we just make it
best
pleasant.
Of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jeffrey, he puts on The Exorcist 3.
Loves
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah. He, you know, originally.
It's the worst one.
It's the worst one, absolutely. It's
still kind of a fun one, though.
I love all the Exorcists. Yeah.
So they watched The Exorcist, and Dahmer was sitting next to Edwards. He had he had the knife. He was swaying back and forth. He was in a trance, yeah. And he was just chanting something over and over again, like some sort of mantra.
Sausage.
Beer.
Sausage. Penis.
Do I suck his dick or do I turn it into soup? Do I suck his feet or do I cut him off and play with him for an hour?
I can hear you. I can hear what you're chanting.
No, it's, I'm just planning.
That's terrifying.
So, I want to play with your nipples like the radio dials, but I kind of just want to rip them off like I did to the radio dials to my radio.
So the guy said, Edward says that Dahmer just kind of casually says, hey, I want to eat your heart.
So it was very similar to Henry's interpretation.
Yeah, pretty similar. Yeah. This is what Edward says. And Dahmer, he denies all this. He says that none of this actually happened. And then Edwards,
I mean, after everything he says, it's like, and then Dahmer's been very honest.
He's been very honest.
Right.
And Edwards, he punched him in the face when Dahmer wasn't looking. He punched him in the face, kicked him in the chest, ran out the door. Dahmer almost grabbed him on the way out, but he was able to run down the
hall. I kind of want Dahmer to get this one. You know, out of all the victims, I mean, this is the guy.
And now we're going to bring one of the best detectives that Milwaukee has ever seen. We're going to bring Detective Patrick Kennedy onto the scene. He was the guy that took Dahmer's confession.
He has quite a bit to say about Jeffrey Dahmer.
He has a lot. So we're going to be doing Kennedy here.
The next best detective in Milwaukee was the St. Bernard. So, I mean, it's not like it's not that big of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
But.
So, Henry, why don't you tell us what Detective Patrick Kennedy said, what Jeffrey said actually happened.
Now, Jeff told me his idea was that since he ran out of pills, he just tried to drink this guy under the table. But he said this guy could drink as much as him. So he said, if I get him in a bandage photo, then I own him. If I have him handcuffed, I could strangle him and I can kill him.
Yeah.
That's also kind of how he talks.
Yeah, that is a very good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I believe that is actually what happened. It was nowhere near as dramatic or anywhere near as detailed as this guy made it out.
He does the same thing that he's done every other. He would not change it at this point.
No.
He told him, he offered him money to come take naked photos with him in the apartment. He handcuffed him like was normal and then tried to kill him. And he just got away with it because he didn't have pills.
Yeah.
There's no wagging around this, waving around a knife. For chanting, that's all nonsense.
He could have chanted.
Maybe just mumbled under his breath. I don't think he's not a chanter.
But it feels like at this point, as every serial killer says, the Ted Bundy quote is the same thing. It's like the first time you kill, you have everything planned down to the last detail. The last time you kill, you think around, you're like, oh, where did I put the wrench?
The crowbar.
It's like, where did I put it? So it's like, you were just, it's paint by the numbers.
Yeah.
He just didn't keep an eye on him.
Yeah. So police officers Robert Routh and Rolf Mueller were flagged down. Edwards, he comes up to the car and he says, I've been attacked. There's a freak up in that apartment. I have to get out of these handcuffs. He was in his underwear. And originally, he didn't even want the cops to go up to the apartment. He's just like, hey, listen, I've got these handcuffs. You got to get these off me. I don't want to make a report. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, because he was hiding being a homosexual.
Exactly.
This is how afraid people are of being outed. It's so sad.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. Like, you could have just, well, you know.
Well, 91 in Milwaukee, the last time they returned a guy to Dahmer's apartment, it didn't turn out so well, so.
Yeah, and they, you know, there was this other serial killer in San Francisco, the Doodler.
That's right, the Doodler.
Yeah, the Doodler. Yeah, and they had
like a nickname you give yourself.
Yeah. No, we're not going to call you Doodler, Steve Hemchick.
No, man. No, nobody call me Hemchick anymore. I'm the Doodler. Now, someone bring those balls over to me because they look dry.
He was another guy.
Leaving clues as to which dick he sucked last night, like the Riddler.
Yeah. Why does my butt sack, why does my ball sack have a question mark on it?
Answer this riddle, and I'll tell you why.
Did you drug me in? And draw a fucking question mark on my ball sack?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the Doodler.
Well, that is just that's just illegal.
Yep. So, the Doodler was a guy that was in San Francisco. They caught the guy, but the two witnesses who got away refused to testify because they didn't want to come out. They didn't want to be outed publicly.
Sure.
So the guy got away scot-free. This is another, that could have happened again. The cops went up, they asked for the handcuff key. Dahmer pointed into the bedroom. He's like, I don't really know where it is. I mean, if you want to get him off, you can saw his hand off. That's pretty much all you can do. And he was serious because that's what he'd done every other time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. LA. But it does work.
This is a genuine tip.
Yeah, this is that's how I get them off. And here's the fucking. There's the
sometimes you got to cut the whole arm off, and then sometimes, I mean, you're sitting there, you're eating the arm, and you're just like, "Where? Oh, I'm late for work."
Yep.
Here's the fucked up thing: is that if Dahmer had the key, he would have gotten away again.
I'm sure, yeah. Give him the key.
Yeah, he would have gotten away again. And so
you always have to have a plan B. It can't always just be cut off the hands.
He wanted to go. Yeah. He wanted to get caught.
And so the officer, you know, he figures, all right, I'm here on the search for the key. That's what he's here for. He just wants to get in and get out as soon as possible.
Yep.
He starts moving towards the bedroom. Jeffrey leaps in front of him. The other guy says, back off. Get out of his way. The officer goes into the bedroom, notices the dresser's half open. He looks inside, and he just sees dozens of Polaroids of just naked men in various poses. And then he starts kind of going through them a little bit. Who knows why? Maybe actually being a police officer.
Maybe. Investigating something.
Getting aroused.
He starts going through, and he sees all of these pictures of just decapitated and mutilated corpses. And he's like, oh, holy shit, this is fucked up. And he starts looking at the pictures. And then looking around him,
it's like, oh, this is the studio right here.
This is it.
I'm here in Magic Land.
This would be a funny scene if they put like a sitcom laugh track under it. You know, like a Big Bang Theory.
Ooh.
Don't go in my room.
You don't want to go in there. And this is like his catchphrase, you know?
Yeah.
So he saw that they were actually in the apartment. He turned to his partner. He said, grab him. And Dahmer, he tried to escape, but, you know, Ralph got him to the ground. Mueller goes over to the fridge. He opened the door. Sees the human head, and Jeffrey, he's just sitting on the
floor.
And
that's pretty damning evidence.
Damning evidence. And he said, for what I did, I should be dead.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And so the calls start going out over the police channels. They start saying,
like, hey, I know, are you on a coffee break? Good. If you could come by this apartment, we got a bit of a shit fuck. That's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it a shit fuck.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
And at this point, all they know is heads. They're like, hey,
well, there's some other things in his refrigerator as well.
Oh, yeah. But all they knew is they opened up, they saw the heads, and they closed it immediately. Because these guys are beat cops. You know, they're not detectives. They're trying to bring in the forensics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want to pass the buck on this pretty seriously because this is a lot of paper.
Oh, totally. They opened the fridge, and the guy jumped into his partner's arms like Scooby from Scooby-Doo, just scared, going in with what Shaq.
He sees the head
of
the thing. It's like my dad always talk about being a cop. He's like, well, as soon as you see a severed hand, he's like, well, that's 5 hours of fucking paperwork right there. Yeah. You know, it's just like, now I have to go to court.
And they start bringing detectives over. They start looking over the apartment, and what they found in the apartment is terrifying.
It was like Vincent Price's house, as you'd imagine it, without it all being just props.
Yeah. But I love what's in the refrigerator. It's also some ketchup, mayonnaise.
I'll read the thing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is
from Patrick Kennedy.
Inside the apartment, what I saw was an empty refrigerator. On the door handle, you know, they had some mustard, Dijon,
that's what a classy guy.
And some ketchup and some mayo. But in the main portion of the refrigerator was empty except for an open box of Arm & Hammer bacon soda to keep things fresh.
Of course.
You know, in a box containing the freshly severed head of a black male. And it was just sitting there. No blood. That's what was on the surreal. You know, it was immaculately clean. Sliced at the neck perfectly. And because, you know, I open it up and here's this black guy.
Yeah.
He's just talking about it as if like everything's like a baseball game.
Yeah.
Or like
so there was a collection of skulls. I'm about to go through a laundry list here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and this has got also some of my favorite facts.
Yeah. A collection of skulls.
Dahmer needs to be put in everything, like those old Dijon commercials where roll down your window. Do you have some Dijon?
Do you want, and it's just a big severed fucking penis.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around, it's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete Sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely
insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And fast-growing trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
So a collection of skulls, some bleached, others hand or spray painted. Three additional severed heads were found in upright freezer compartment and locked in ice at the base of the unit. There was a bag loaded with flesh and internal organs. Another freezer had two hearts, each individually wrapped in plastic bags. There was a thick slab of muscle tissue. On the floor of the cupboard, there was a large kettle containing a pair of human hands, a set of genitals. In the bottom drawer of a metal filing cabinet in Dahmer's bedroom, there was a complete human skeleton, dried remnants of somebody's scalp, and another penis that had obviously been there for a while.
He forgot about it.
Oh, that's sad.
When that's the problem. It's like, you know, old friends, you don't see them for a while because you're making a bunch of new friends, you know?
Yeah.
That poor shriveled old penis must have been so alone.
You gotta cut off a lot of human penises to lose one.
Nobody loves me. Jeffrey hasn't sucked on me in weeks.
I'm sorry.
What do you think I did wrong, Mr. Skeleton?
Nothing, human penis.
I just don't think you're attractive to him anymore.
No, that's not right,
Maybe
Skeleton.
Maybe you need to get some plastic surgery.
Oh, don't say that to the little penis.
I just wish that somebody would just suck me and play with my balls.
I'm
give
sure
me some love, yeah.
Somebody will.
Or if I was still alive, that'd be nice.
Yeah, you don't think I don't want to still be alive?
Yeah.
Of course, there was the famous 57-gallon blue plastic drum. They found three human torsos marinating in their own juices.
Mm.
This is what Ann Schwartz...
Marinating. I don't know if the term marinating is right here.
I'd say congealing.
Yeah. It's kind of disgustingly hanging out.
Here's what Ann Schwartz, the woman who wrote The Man Who Couldn't Kill Enough, this is what she said. She said, in the back of the closet was a metal stock pot that contained decomposed hands and penises.
I'd love to find a place with this much storage space.
Oh, yeah.
I have one closet in my apartment.
Yeah.
On the shelf above the kettle were two skulls. Also in the closet were containers of ethyl alcohol, chloroform, and formaldehyde, along with some glass jars holding male genitalia preserved in formaldehyde and Polaroid pictures taken by Dahmer at various stages of his victims' deaths. One showed a man's head with the flesh still intact, lying in a sink. Another displayed a victim cut open from the neck to the groin, like a deer gutted after the kill. The cut so clean, I could see the pelvis bone clearly.
Now, he could have sold this if he just like, welcome detectives to my version of the Mutter Museum. This is the Dahmer Museum. Notice all the human penises.
It's also a bit of a restaurant.
It's crazy. Would you like something to eat?
Well, I mean, you say museum, but the head investigator, the guy that dismantled the crime scene, he said it was more like dismantling someone's museum.
It was all left out for him to constantly be looking at it and for people to see it.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be found. That's why he left it all out there. Like, John Wayne Gacy kept everything in the fucking basement put away. Like, everyone else lived this secret. They kept a dividing line between their mad side and them, where Dahmer was up to his eyeballs in it because he built the whole house became a shrine.
It's an apartment.
Yeah.
You know, if he had a crawl space, he would have loved to use it.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like a garage.
But I feel like he would have dumped the bodies in the river. There would have been other ways for him to deal with.
Where would he put them? If you're killing somebody, it's tough to get rid of a body in an apartment.
Yeah.
And go downstairs and things like that.
I guess so.
I think it is.
I don't know for sure. Well. All right, so this is my favorite factoid.
Yeah.
Patrick Kennedy. A 5-gallon plastic pail, it had a couple of penises. One, he had a black penis. You know, when he started saving the penises, he didn't save the white one.
Hmm.
So the one penis we found, he had bought foundation, like the one women use for their zits. He made it a white penis.
Oh, interesting.
So he painted a dead man's penis white so he could suck on it.
Okay.
And so I literally, it's just like a... this color is going to look beautiful on you. Like doing a fucking makeover with
yeah.
it. And then he's going like, fuck, thank God you're white now.
Yeah. And then he just got white makeup all over his face, like a huffer with paint all over their face.
So
unbelievable.
So Dahmer was, of course, taken back to the station, and Patrick Kennedy, they put him in the box with him because Kennedy's partner had gone over to the crime scene. The confession was 160 pages long. Dahmer said, you know,
honestly, I bet he was so relieved to talk to somebody once it finally came out, because that's yeah. what he said before, was that when he wished he could have spoken about his horrible impulses before, but how do you tell something to somebody that's just going to put you in a concrete square for the rest of your life?
Yeah. yeah. And Kennedy treated him pretty good. He had some coffee, some cigarettes. Yeah. I mean, Dahmer was still blackout drunk, and this is how dangerous
he gave him a bunch of pepperoni ropes that he could just suck on just to sort of wean himself off.
You can paint him any color.
It's penis methadone.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Kennedy didn't believe him at first.
Yeah.
At first, he was like, all right, you know, okay, so you had the heads. That's pretty fucked up. But Dahmer immediately started going into each murder in detail. Finally, Kennedy's...
Somebody's
got to
start writing this down, because I can't remember anything because I'm half drunk.
Yeah, he didn't.
They were all drunk.
He didn't write anything down until his partner called him and said, like, hey, this is for real. We found all of this shit. This guy is the real deal.
Oh, yeah, because that's what it was really. Yeah, I remember that in Jeffrey Dahmer Files. He talks about that. He's like sitting down with him, and literally he just thinks that he's got like a couple of murderers and he kept the heads.
Yeah.
But then as he's getting a call, it's like call after call after calls coming and just being like, and now we found a stew pot filled with penises, and now he's painted a bunch of them, and this is it's pretty crazy.
Oh yeah. I mean, you would think that he would have started writing down things kind of immediately. Once you find one head in a refrigerator, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's killed somebody before.
Yeah.
Because he immediately told the story about the jogger.
Yeah.
He went way back. And this is how dangerous the Milwaukee jail system is. Dahmer was terrified of going down to the general population because he was just going to get his ass kicked.
Of course.
And
just
so
being
that's what
gay. Just because his crimes were gay. Yeah. If he was straight, he would have been a fucking superstar.
Yeah,
in the prison system. No, because it's true. You look at people like Bundy and stuff like that. The prisoners looked up to him. But if you're gay, they're ready to all jump and jump beat him.
Sure,
we'll see that. Though.
Yeah, and he gave. Dahmer started giving him all kinds of weird details. He said that what he used to cook them with, he used vegetables, mushrooms, onions, and they said that during the month before they caught him, that was the only meat that he ate.
Yeah, and he said a lot of things. It's just so. And then I still love Patrick Kennedy just being mystified with it. To say, he had a lot of lovers. There's lovers walking around that I see sometime in Milwaukee that I know got fucked by Jeffrey Dahmer. But he didn't kill him, because he only killed the ones that he thought were really, truly the most beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said he only ate the ones that were truly beautiful to him.
Yeah.
And he only killed and kept parts of the ones that he thought were, as in his eyes, the perfect specimen of a man.
Yes, because like the other thing we talk about, too, is on the search for the ultimate orgasm.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like all this other shit.
Yeah, speaking of which, he ejaculated into torn open rib cages. He draped himself with the bloody entrails.
He really got creative.
Yeah, he was having a good time. Yeah.
And I've never had so good at... I guess the only thing I could really put it is eating Chinese food alone.
That's a good
That's
time.
That's like me, where it's like you're covered in sauce, you know, no shirt on.
That's pretty
great. Like, I mean, it's just me watching Aqua Teen, just smoking a blunt, eating Chinese food. That's the only thing I can say is equivalent to Jeffrey Dahmer with these bodies.
Dahmer's living this whole other like 80s sci-fi movie just covered in human entrails with his arms raised in a V, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, because, we're working at the chocolate factory. Yes, some of these guys got improv troupes and they got stuff going on the side, like a band, you know. And they ask Jeffrey what he does, and he's just like, I occupy myself.
Yeah. I stay busy. I promise you that.
Yeah, crafts. I like crafts.
Crafts, I mean costumes.
Just smearing blood all over his face in sort of a Native American pattern, just speaking to himself in the bathroom mirror.
All this old shit.
What a time.
He started, this is again Patrick Kennedy, he started saving the heads. A lot of times he said he'd pull out the heads, you know, because if there was a while where he was trying to prevent himself from killing.
Yeah.
So he'd use his trophies.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, we found 7 heads in the refrigerator. He'd pull them out, talk to them, stick his dick in their mouth. We found a couple of penises he'd just suck on, you know? He said he'd do this to try to satisfy himself so he wouldn't have to keep going out and killing people.
Right.
And I asked him, I was like, Jeff, why didn't you just go get a boyfriend? Why the fuck do you have to kill everybody? And then you look at Jeffrey Dahmer into his blue eyes,
you didn't see the fucking devil. You know what I'm saying? You saw, at least I saw, a pathetic human being who was so hedonistically selfish that all they could think about was the pursuit of his own sexual pleasures.
And this is why Nutrisystem doesn't work. You know, you can't have
a drink to substitute a meal.
That's right. You can't have a shake for a steak. Doesn't work. Can't have a fake penis or a severed human penis for a human penis
attached.
Once
we can get some severed human penises in pill forms, we'll be able to cure these serial killers.
So the trial comes up. This trial, they said that his court appearances, they had the air of a movie premiere. It was huge. Said it had the biggest security measures ever seen in a U.S. courtroom. They swept it for bombs daily with sniffer dogs. There was an 8-foot wall of bulletproof glass protecting
Dahmer. Now, we went out there. Now, we deputized the state's biggest pigs, and we put them all on the outside there.
But the problem is that guys kept killing the pigs in order to make sausages out of
barbecue. Yeah, barbecue detective, they were calling them.
Well, I know anyone out there who was, I guess, at any age in which you actually paid attention to shit in 1992, you saw this everywhere.
Every
day you saw Jeffrey. I was talking to, you know, one of my assistants here. He was born in like 89, and he had no idea what Jeffrey Dahmer looked like. Oh, and that fucking mystified me. I couldn't believe that someone could know what Dahmer looked like.
They're so huge, too. You know what I mean? Like, The Tonight Show was making fun of him. SNL was making fun of him. And like, all this stuff was happening. He became, well, as we know, that's why it's important to the serial killer fucking oeuvre is that he's the one.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the number one killer.
Everyone's heard of Jeffrey Dahmer at one point or another.
He did a lot of stuff to earn the reputation.
Oh, he's the jack of all trades. I mean, you look at someone like Michael Jordan or, LeBron James, you got to rebound. You got to pass. You got to shoot. And you got to win the big game. Yeah. You know? And he did everything.
That's awesome, but yeah, you got to win in the postseason. Yeah.
He made human zombies. He raped, he killed, he ate. He did everything.
He did everything.
Every single thing.
Yeah. And he, of course,
he didn't have sex with a woman.
Yeah.
Had sex with a woman.
He did not.
Yeah. If he wants to, you know, go through some trials, he should try getting married.
Yeah. That would be tough.
See if he can survive getting married.
It's pretty easy to kill your boyfriend, but try being married for 10 years. That's
So he pleaded guilty but insane to all counts. And what that means is by pleading guilty to the charges brought against him and thereby waiving his rights to an initial try to establish guilt, the issue debated by opposing counsels at Dahmer's trial was to determine whether he suffered from either a mental or a personality disorder. The prosecution claiming that any disorders did not deprive Dahmer of the ability to appreciate the criminality of his conduct or to deprive him of the ability to resist his impulses. The defense arguing that Dahmer suffered from a mental disease and was driven by obsessions and impulses he was unable to control.
I mean, he wasn't well.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you're Dahmer, I would just stand up and say, members of the jury, I got 5 words for you. You had to try it. I had some of the best goddamn human penises on the face of the planet. If you had one bite, you couldn't stop.
Yeah, you'd be addicted yourself. God, I love that dick. God, I love that dick with some onions and some mushrooms.
Ooh, goodness. Oh, yeah.
Well, the trial goes on, and this is when some juicy little details coming out about Jeffrey Dahmer. Apparently, he fancied himself the Emperor from Return of the Jedi.
Always wanted to be Chewie.
Yeah, he bought yellow tinted contacts to make him look more like the Emperor.
Such a nerd.
And when these details came out that he loved Return of the Jedi and he loved the Exorcist movies, it was said that in Milwaukee, there was not a single video store where you could rent any of these movies.
Because
everyone immediately went out and they wanted to see what connection there was. Like, they wanted to just see anything about
this
guy.
They just rule.
Oh, they're great movies.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome movies. Yeah. I love Jedi. We found out that he couldn't get an erection if his partners were awake, and he hated that because if they had sex before they were drugged, he was always the bottom. And he hated being the bottom because then he was completely powerless.
Yeah. Right.
And his whole thing was control. And he also, this is a funny little story that came out, on Thanksgiving Day in 1989, Thanksgiving, he woke up in a strange apartment. He was hogtied and suspended from the ceiling. Dahmer said, you know, he drank too much and blacked out. His legs were tied together. His arms were tied behind his back in the fashion of the hogtie. Mm. He was hanging by hooks and ropes, and the man was sexually assaulting him with a candle.
Well, just didn't know is that he was invited to a birthday party against his will, and he was the cake.
Yeah, you gotta ask, am I the cake?
And when he told this story, the whole section of the court where there were family members hanging out, they just laughter erupted.
Yeah, they thought that was very hilarious stuff.
They thought, and he said when
human cake.
And this was when he was at the House of Correction, that halfway house, and he said when he got back, he passed several inches of candles during a bowel movement.
You have to have a laugh to yourself about that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
With everything else you do, you'd be like, you know, him shitting out the candle and being like, you know, there's some real perverts out there.
It said that he, working at the plasma center in Milwaukee, he took a vial of blood home and drank it.
Yeah, he's trying a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's trying a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. When asked about his fascination with body parts, he said, maybe I was born too late. Maybe I was an Aztec.
I don't know. At the same time, they at least were Mexican.
Yeah. Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe you're just a psycho. I mean, who knows? Maybe a bunch of things happened.
They brought in a supervisor from the Ambrosia Chocolate Company. He said, I had no problems with Jeffrey. He was always very polite.
But I'm saying Jeffrey's still bad. Yeah. He's bad, but I mean, I've never met a finer chocolate mixer until, he just made it so creamy smooth because he just whip at it and whip at it and whip at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said he was like, he was making a mold for a black person. But he's like, oh, how I wish I could pour it into a big 6-foot-tall mold and have take that home, you know? And we laughed about that.
Yeah. Never got greenlit, though.
So this is my favorite detail from the trial. His lawyer, the same guy that had defended him in the first case, Boyle, he brought out this huge wheel. And at the center of the wheel was a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's kind of like, do you remember Wheel of Fish, whatever, in UHF?
You're so stupid! A lot like that. And so around the wheel were all of these things listed that the lawyer said was wrong with Jeffrey Dahmer. And he just listed them one by one.
These are the Jeopardy categories of what was wrong with Jeffrey Dahmer. I'll take skulls and locker for 1,000, please.
He said, skulls and locker. Cannibalism, sexual urges, drilling, making zombies, necrophilia, drinking alcohol
all the time,
trying to create a shrine, lobotomies, defleshing, calling taxidermists, going to graves for years, masturbating.
This is
Jeffrey Dahmer, a runaway train on the track of
madness.
Can't
believe he was jerking off.
Yeah, that's really sinful.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, people shouldn't masturbate.
What is he, a pig? Can't get it enough, so he has to jerk off all the time? Ugh.
Yep.
So this is what the prosecution argued against the insane plea. He said first is that he did not suffer. The defense argued that he suffered from primary necrophilia.
Which means he can only fuck dead bodies.
Yeah, and he has an uncontrollable compulsion to do it. But the prosecution rightly argued that it was not primary necrophilia because of his attempts to create the zombie slaves.
Now, how do you feel when you're making up the argument of just being like, you know, when you're sitting there at night, you know, because you're working on your notes in the kitchen and your wife and your kids are probably playing in the other room stuff, and you're just like, well, he didn't want to just fuck the bodies because he kept trying to make these zombies.
He wanted to keep them alive.
He wanted them to be alive. So it's like, legally, we got him by the balls.
Yeah, we got him real good here.
They said that he was extremely calculating. He went to great lengths to be alone with his victims, which is also true. And they said that the prosecutor felt that Dahmer's habit of getting fucking wasted before committing the murders was very significant. He said if he had a compulsion to kill, he would not have to drink alcohol. He had to drink alcohol to overcome his inhibition to do the crime, which he would rather not do.
It's like when you want to go skydiving. But you're scared of heights.
Yeah, a couple of shots. Yeah. No, he didn't, because again, he didn't like the killing.
Yeah.
He just liked playing with the penises afterwards, like he was a macabre Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a hard job to just go apply and get.
There's got to be a silicone.
You have to make that job. You are a small businessman.
Oh, totally.
When your business is, I want to make dick soup.
You know, he went to a Milwaukee mental health facility 2 days before he was caught. He stayed for 15 minutes and then left.
Yeah.
So he started to, he knew he was crazy. He knew there was something.
Yeah, he was starting to figure it out.
Yeah.
He started really looking in the mirror, Jeff, and everyone would be like, Jeff, what are you doing? Maybe, what's your 5-year plan, Jeff? You know, it's like, where do you want to be? It's like, I kind of want to be a pilot.
Oh.
Well, I got to stop fucking all these severed human heads if I want to be a pilot.
Yep.
So on February 15th, the jurors found him guilty and sane, not suffering from a mental disorder at the time of the 15 murders. Two of the 12 jurors, they signified their dissent. The defense convinced two of them.
Yeah. But,
you know, majority ruled.
Well, they were hungry when they were doing the during the ending.
Low blood sugar. Yeah. Not paying attention. Really? So on the first two counts, Dahmer was sentenced to life imprisonment plus 10 years. Then, of course, the remaining counts, life imprisonment. No death penalty in Wisconsin.
Yep.
So right. It was life in prison. And so Jeffrey Dahmer goes to prison where he will spend the rest of his life.
Yeah. And it was kind of like Ernest Goes to Jail, where then his double came. So it was all a mishap. He was the evil brother of to a set of twins. Mm-hmm. And the good one went to jail. And then he went to the chair and then he had the electric powers.
I remember that. Yeah. That's also. That was the French Joffrey Dahmer, of course. Yeah. The much better looking Dahmer.
So at first, they didn't allow Dahmer to congregate with the other inmates. They kept him completely separate. But after a little while, they started to bring him into the general population. Mm. In June of 94, he was attacked by a fellow inmate who tried to slit his throat with a sharpened toothbrush as he was coming back from the church service. And it should be noted that Dahmer did become a born-again Christian.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he did, yes.
Well, you know, they did find a King James Bible among the skulls in his apartment.
Of course, but they found out that he was using it to, like, as a napkin. Like, he was just ripping off papers from it and just, cleaning his face.
Yeah. Probably read a couple of good scriptures, though, while he was cleaning the blood off his fucking hands.
Oh, that is interesting, huh? I got all this dick juice all over my nose.
So 4 months after they introduced... 4 months after that initial attack, they put him on work detail with these two guys, Jesse Anderson, who was a white supremacist.
The best one of the people on the thing.
Yeah, he was a white supremacist who murdered his wife and tried to blame it on a black guy. And another guy, Christopher Scarver, he was a schizophrenic who was serving a sentence for first-degree murder and thought he was the son of God. So on November 28th, 1994, the guard left the men alone to do the morning janitor work. And no one really knows what happened, but within 20 minutes of the guard leaving them alone, two of the three men were dead.
It started with the guard slipping those two guys $20.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I know we've all heard, heard it growing up, that Jeffrey Dahmer was killed by a fellow inmate shoving a broomstick up his ass.
I thought it was a barbell.
Well, that's the thing, is that I always wondered where that detail came from. Why did they say broom handle up the ass? I always thought maybe it's like, gay guy, he gets his just desserts.
Yeah.
But it turned out that there was a tiny nugget of truth to that story, and that Anderson, the white supremacist, had been beaten to death with
a broom handle. And then he got beat to death with a metal bar across his head.
Yeah.
And I guess
Dahmer
it's true.
Did.
Yeah, yes, Dahmer.
Dahmer died from a blow to the head by a 20-inch metal bar, crushed his skull. Not the inmate said that he didn't make a single sound, and he made no effort whatsoever to save his life.
He was done.
Security officer just left him alone with two other murderers, just surrounded with a bunch of metal bars.
I mean, he was in with them.
Yeah.
He was constantly surrounded by other murderers.
Yeah,
this is the Wisconsin death penalty, though.
Yes.
I mean, they knew he was going to die.
Yeah,
pretty
and
much.
Dahmer knew he was going to die too.
Putting him in Gen Pop was the thing that was going to kill him.
Yeah,
they always knew it. You know, like he was never going to live. And so ends the fucking horrible shit-fuck life that was Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah.
His parents were the only mourners at his funerals, and their ashes were divided among them, and they were...
And they ate him, which is really they sprinkled on spaghetti like a Parmesan cheese.
Salt and pepper, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
We gotta see if Jeffrey was right.
Marcus, what happened with those two cops that we discussed at the top of the program?
Ah, yes. We'll do a bit of an epilogue on this one. The two cops that... found
Let the guy
Conorick.
Go.
Did they get fired and then their lives were terrible from then on?
At the time, they were immediately fired. But later on, they appealed the decision. They were reinstated on full pay and were later named Officers of the Year by the police union.
Unbelievable.
That's all you got to do is just not do your job and you'll keep getting promoted.
It's true.
Jesus Christ. Well, this is just, I learned a lot.
Dahmer's
amazing. A lot of interesting factoids. We're going to go with this next week. We're going to be doing some aliens.
Yeah.
So we're getting back to some real fucking news.
Really amazing stuff. And aliens are in the mainstream media right now because the Pope just came out and said he believes in alien life. And when they do reach Earth, they want to be converted to Catholicism.
Of course he wants to get his fucking grubby mitts on the aliens.
So aliens are in the news right now, which
of course
is really
he
exciting.
Does. And again, we said it the last time. You know, it's like they just like it because they look like fucking hairless little boys.
Oh, sure.
Try and suck their dicks.
Oh, Dahmer would have loved them. But I don't know if they have penises, though. So that would have been frustrating.
No, it would have been. No, that's a problem. Is the aliens keep showing up wearing top hats in order to hide their heads in fucking big high-waisted pants like zoot suits.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Follow Marcus Parks on Twitter. I'm Ben Kissel, and that's Henry Loves You on Twitter.
My show A to Z for NBC got picked up, so you're going to see a delightfully different side of Henry Zebrowski on the television show, and I can't wait for people to Google me while watching the show and see this. So we're all going to get a bunch of new fun fans.
Oh, they're going to be terrified of you, and then they're going to boycott NBC.
And of course, go to, if you got some time, go to iTunes, leave us a nice little review. That helps us out, getting in the top 200 and all that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
gets us a lot more attention. So yeah, go make some reviews, say something nice, and we'd much appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. Hail Satan.
Yeah, hail yourselves.
Hail Geese.
Hail me!
And listen to all the other comedy programs on Cave Comedy Radio.
Page 7 is good.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's not bad.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist. Hear that, plants? So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.